Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Bertha Seagal, Bela Finkel Bas Yehuda. All the neshamas we've learned for should have an aliyah. And we begin three lines from the top. And the Gemara is going to go into a little bit of a sidebar discussion now, talking about expanding Yerushalayim. As Rashi tells us in Dibur Maskel Yekoros V'Kipon on the second line, I did the Ayub Yerushalayim. Since we were talking about Yerushalayim in yesterday's shiur, if you took Kotcha Kalim outside Yerushalayim beyond a certain point, you have to go back to Yerushalayim and burn. If you went beyond a certain point, you didn't have to go back to Yerushalayim, you could burn it right there. So since we were talking about Yetzio Shorel, leaving the confines of the gates of Yerushalayim, so therefore, we're talking now, the Ba'in Lememar, come on, Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahosif HaYerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, in the future, Be'ezus Hashem, B'mehir V'yameinu, expand Yerushalayim, because there'd be so many people doing Aliyas Regal, and so many korbanos, and so many things brought, we're going to have to expand the area where you can eat these korbanos, B'mehir V'yameinu. So we begin, three lines from the top. We quote a pasuk from Zechariah, where it tells us, V'haya B'yamahu, Lo yeah, or Yekaros V'kipa'om. Now literally that means that in the future, Mi'etz Hashem, this is talking about the time of the Milchemes Gog and Magog, the time right before Mashiach comes. So it says that there won't be any strong light, and the light will be dim. That's how the pasuk literally should be understood. But here we're darshining, what does it mean, Yekaros V'kipa'on? My Yekaros V'kipa'on. So we have several homiletic drashos over here. The first one is as follows. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Zeh Or, that the Or that they're referring to is the sun. Sheyakor Bo'om Azeh. The word Yakor means something that's important and choshev. As opposed to the word Kofu, it actually tells us it means something that floats. Kafa parzula, it's like floating on the river, and therefore it is not something that is significant or substantive. So Yekaros means something choshev, and kipal means something not choshev. So Rabbi Elazar tells us that the R is Yakor Bo'olam Hazeh. Light is very, very important in this world. The light of the sun, wow, that's what the whole world revolves around. However, the light of the sun will pale in comparison to the light in the world to come. And Rabbeinu Chananel over here in the first of the wide lines, and the Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that this is referring to Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. So therefore, the learning in this world will dim in comparison to the depths of the learning that we'll understand in the world to come. V'dvar Hashem ha'yoyokor b'yomim hein kofuhu u'motzi li'olam haba. Chodov u'motzi b'biyad rabim b'zolhu. That in this world, only a small number of people have Torah, and in the world to come, everybody will have Torah, so therefore it becomes something that is only held by a few people. Rabbeinu Chananel says that's considered very expensive, very yokra. But when something is owned by many people, so then it becomes, quote, less expensive in that everybody has it, so supply and demand, so to say. That's Teretz number one. Rav Yochanan Amar, Elu Negoim Olos. This is a reference to the study of the Masechtos of Negoim and Olos. Sheikarin Hein Bolam Azeh. They're very difficult. They're very hard Masechtos to learn. Not many people understand them and know them in this world. However, Ukfuyin Hein Liolam Abo. But everybody will understand them. They'll become much more well-known and understood in the world to come. The final interpretation of Yeshua ben Levi Omar, he says, this is a topsy-turvy world, as we'll see in a second. The Gemara will actually tell us that. Yeshua ben Levi says that people that we think of them as important in this world, but they're going to be insignificant in the world to come. And the people that are considered not so important in this world will see that they're truly important in the world to come. As Amaisa Shahoya, he heard the Rav Yosef, Berei the Rishu ben Levi, Rav Yishu ben Levi's son, Rav Yosef, Cholash, he got sick, V'is Nagid. Rashi says he actually died. Rashi says that he passed away and he had a near-death experience and he was revived. Uparcha Rucho, his life left him. Gavu Uparcha Rucho. Ben Chananel says that he didn't really die, obviously. I don't think Rashi says he really died. He had a death experience and he survived afterwards to tell us about it, or he actually died and he had a Trias HaMesim type of experience. In any event, when Rav Yosef comes back to this world, he tells his father, Yehadar Amalei Avu, his father asks him, My Chazis, what did you see during your near-death experience? So Amalei, so he tells his father, Olam Hafuk, he says, so everything's upside down. El Yonim Lamata, the people that we consider Chashuv in this world, they're high in this world, but they're low in that world. V'tachtonim Lamala, and the people that we think are low in this world, we see them high in that world. And the Rabbeinu Chananel in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tosus brings down the Rabbeinu Chananel there that tells us this is a famous maisa between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Shmuel, and in this world he's lower than Shmuel, but in the world to come it says that Rav Yehuda was ahead of Shmuel. And Tosus there explained the name of Rabbeinu Hanano that in some way Shmuel was held accountable for the fact that he once heard a woman very, very upset, and he ignored her. He was a little bit harsh on her, and as a result, he lost certain standing. As opposed to Rav Yehuda said, how can you ignore the pleas of this woman? In any event, we see that the value of a person in this world shouldn't be judged as necessarily being the value that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person. I was taught by Rabbein, a very famous idea, that somebody who works in this world very, very, very hard is rewarded even if the results aren't there. The ends aren't always the way that we judge. It's the effort that you put into things. If a person puts in a tremendous amount of time listening to Daf Yomi, but he still doesn't fully understand it, so he gets more schar than somebody who hopped the Daf Yomi right away, and he spends 5 minutes on it, I know it, and he leaves. The guy who spends 10 hours trying to understand it, even if he's unsuccessful, is greater than the person who understands it right away, but doesn't spend time learning and going deeper and deeper. So in this world, the guy that understands it, oh, everybody says, oh, he's so smart, he understands the Daf Yomi, he understands the Shia. And the person who doesn't know, well, he's not so smart. But in the world to come, they say, wow, this guy put in 10 hours of effort, this guy put in 1 hour of effort. The person who didn't understand the Daf Yomi but tried, so he's going to be on a much higher plane than the person who understood it but didn't spend a lot of time in trying to really understand it deeper or didn't go learn the rest of the Torah. So this is a very, very important idea. So that's what Yeshua Levi, he hit his son. Amalei says, B'ni, Olam Barisa, what you saw is absolutely correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the true value of people, and you see the true value in that world, which you don't always see in this world. And then he tells his son, Vanan Hechi Asam, where were the Tamidei Chachamim? Rashi says, Vanan means Tamidei Chachamim, Hechi Esin and Hasam. Where did the Tamidei Chachamim stand in that world? So, are they considered high or low? So the Gemara says that Rav Yosef answered him, Ki hechid isu anan hacha, hachi isinan hasam. Just like over here, we're held in high regard, so too over there, we're held in high regard. In other words, Talmud Torah, that's true value. That's recognized in this world as well as recognized in that world as well. Furthermore, v'shamati shayomrim, and he heard the Tamidei Chacham saying, Asher mi shebol lekan v'samudu b'yado. So Rav Yosef tells his father that the Tamidei Chacham are there saying that how great it is for a person who comes to the next world prepared with all of his learning. He remembers his learning, he chazed it, and he has all his learning still in his hand, as opposed to some people who forget the learning. The Rabbeinu Hanan points out over here, he says, Yesh b'shomer shegoris al peh. Kiholach, the Girsosu Imo. Person who's always learning, even as he's walking on the road, he remembers it and learns it by heart. So this way, he will always have it with him. Others say, Yesh Mishu Mafarish, Mishiyovo Bechan, Umaisov Misodim. He comes here with all of his good deeds in his possession. The Talmudo Shekiyem, and all of the learning that he fulfilled, doing that's not only Lomo, but Lassos. So therefore, that is the person who comes here with his learning in his hand. Furthermore, v'shamati shayomim, I heard them also say, harugi malchus ein odem yochol lamo b'mchitzasun. Those people that died al kiddush Hashem, the government killed them because they were Jews, they died al kiddush Hashem, nobody can stand in their mechitza. So the Gemara asks, who are such people? Give me examples. Uman ninhu. So Gemara says, if you're going to tell me lema Rabbi Akiva chaveru, if you're going to tell me it's Rabbi Akiva, the asarugi malchus. So Gemara says, mishum harugi malchus, v'sulo, is that the only reason Rabbi Akiva deserves the unbelievable Olam Haba that he has because the government killed him, and if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have earned it? No, so we can't be talking about Rabbi Akiva. He had much, much more going than just, again, just in quotations, just being killed as one of the Asarugi Malchus. They said Rabbi Akiva was such a great God, though, no matter what his death was, he would have been Zocha to unbelievable heights in Olam Haba. So that can't be that, oh, because he was from the Asarugi Malchus, so that he can't stand in the Mechitza. Nobody can stand in his Mechitza. Nobody can stand in the Mechitza anyway. So Gemara says, you're right. It can't be that, because Rabbi Akiva, he would get his huge place in Shemayim no matter what. So who's this referring to? That Harugi Malchus in Odom Yochol Amod Mechitza. So this is a reference to Elo Harugi Lud. This is the famous Harugi Lud. Rashi brings down, the Rabbeinu Hanan bring down over here, that there were two brothers, Pappas and Lulianus, and these two brothers, they gave up their lives to save Klal Yisrael. There was a wicked king, and his daughter was attacked and killed, and they blamed the Jews. So they were going to kill all the Jews. So Pappas and Lulianus, they came forward and said, we killed them, which they didn't do. But they gave up their lives. They were killed themselves, but they gave up their lives to protect the rest of Klal Yisrael. So such people who died, al harugi malchus, so these people, ain't odem yochol amod b'mchitzasim, even though they had no necessarily other great talents or traits that they deserved Olam Haba for, the fact that they did this great Mesiris Nefesh, that's why they deserved to be in a place that nobody else could reach that place because they were so great.
The Gemara continues and discusses another pasuk from Zechariah, and it says, Bayamahu yeah al mitzilos hasus kodesh lashem.
At that time, after the
winning battle against Gog Melech Magog, we're going to bring many things to Yerushalayim. That's basically what the pasuk is referring to. So we say, "My mitzilos asus." What does it mean that there'll be lots of horses, the mitzilos of these horses, going up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? Some of Yerushalayim Levi, he tells us, "Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu losev al Yerushalayim ad shasus rots umeitzil." This is a reference to the expansion of Yerushalayim. There'll be so many people, Baruch Hashem, going up to Yerushalayim, and here will be Yameinu, so they're going to have to expand the city limits of Yerushalayim, which we're allowed to do. The Gemara elsewhere tells us this whole process, how to halachically expand the area of Yerushalayim to incorporate new areas to be able to be considered as eating kachim kalim in Yerushalayim, and other dinim of Yerushalayim, such as Maishasheni, Netar Revai, etc. So they'll expand it so much so that the horse, how far a horse can travel from the morning until the middle of the day. Rashi points out that the Lashon of here, Metzilos, comes from a Lashon of Tzel, of shadow, that the shadow of the horse is underneath its body, i.e. when the sun reaches the middle of the sky, so no shadow is cast. The shadow goes right down. There's no elongated shadows. So it's the horse is running from the morning until middle of the day. That's how far Yerushalayim's borders will be expanded. That's the first understanding that we have of Metzilos, the expansion of Yerushalayim. Second understanding is Rabbi Elazar. He says, "Omar, kol Metzilos shetolun lasus bein einov yeh kodesh Lashem." Rashi understands Metzilos here is some sort of a bell, and it clangs, and that's an ornament that the horse wears. The Marsha says it's some sort of an eye protection to protect the sus from the sun. So these Metzilos will be brought as a donation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third understanding is Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar, kol bizo shebozen Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is going to have lots of booty from the goyim that will defeat, and this bizo, this booty, will be brought to Beis HaMikdash, and how much will be brought? Ad shor shasus ratzu meitzel. They'll be bringing in, again, from morning until middle of the day, so much of the bizo, yet Kodesh Lashem will be given to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Now, we have these three understandings. First one is to expand Yerushalayim. Second one is to give these bells or these shades to the Kodesh. And the third one is that there'll be so much booty that we have that we'll go and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'man d'yom, according to Rav Yochanan, everything is good. Kol biza shebaz Yisrael. We understand why it says in the Pasuk, kind of dichsiv, the Hoya hasiros with Beis Hashem, all the pots that will be in the Beis HaMikdash, they'll be gold, they'll turn them into gold and silver, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, all the utensils are gold and silver, even the pots, there'll be so much booty, there'll be so much biza that will be swimming in such wealth that they'll bring even the pots made out of gold. So therefore, we understand the third interpretation of Yochanan says there'll be so much biza. But according to the first interpretation, Zeloman de Omar, according to Meshul ben Levi, who said that it's expanding the borders, and according to Rabbi Elazar, who said that it's just these bells or these shades that are on the horses, Elamandi Omar Bahanoch Tarti, for those two interpretations, how do you understand the Pasuk? Why should there be so much wealth? How do either of those two show a tremendous amount of wealth? Someone says, you're right, they don't. Mil Sacharite Komar, that's dealing with something else. That the Klai Yisrael, the Misatre, will become so rich, Yisrael, and therefore will donate all this extra stuff to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not directly related to the first part of the Pasuk. Where I ask again, Bishlam al-Man d'yomar biza, according to the interpretation of Yochanan, says that there'll be so much biza, so much booty that we'll get from the beating of the goyim. So haynu d'chsev, we understand the pasuk says that we'll no longer need v'lo ye kinani o b'veis Hashem tzvakos, that there won't be any need to have a kinani. Kinani, we'll see, means various tagrin, various types of selling vendors or merchants in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. That's because you no longer need to go and make a buck. There'll be so much money that's brought in through donations because of all the biza that we have. But according to the first two interpretations, the expansion of Yerushalayim, according to Shubha Levi, and the bells or the shades, according to Rabbi Elazar, so then why does that make any sense if they won't need any more merchants? Why won't they need to have opportunities to make some money for the Beis HaMikdash? So again, Amar Vimia, he says, Ein kan oni. He says, what it means over here is kinani, it means that there won't be any poverty here. In other words, the Klai Yisrael will be so wealthy, not necessarily because of the booty, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses so much that there won't be any need to have these merchants anymore. How do we know the word kinani means this merchants, these tagrim? Ukinani minolon de ikre tagar. How do we know that this word kinani is equivalent to merchants? So where it says, Dirsid, Bayar Shom Yehuda bas ish kinani. Yehuda went down and married this daughter of an ish kinani. Now, How could that possibly be that this is a Kanani? My Kanani doesn't mean Eli Mo Kanani Mamash. They mean he married a girl from Canaan. How could that possibly be? Efshar Bo Avraham Yisiris Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu told Yitzchak. He told Eliezer, don't bring her back a wife for Yitzchak. He told Eliezer, don't bring back a wife for Yitzchak from the Benos HaKanani. So Yitzchak was instructed very clearly, don't marry a Canaanite woman. And Bo Yitzchak is a Yaakov. Yitzchak told the same thing to Yaakov, and he told him, don't go marry a Canaanite woman. So Yehuda also the Nosev, would it make any sense that Yehuda would go out and Badafka marry a Kanani woman? No, absolutely not. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says he saw Yehuda saw Bas Ish Kanani? It must be El Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, which Lakish said, Bas Gavra Tagra. It wasn't Kanani as an ethnic group or a location, but it meant a type of job. And it refers to a Kanani here as a merchant. And how do we know that? The Siv, Kanan biyado mozne mirba. A person who's a Kanani, i.e. a merchant, he carries with him various scales. Now, this is a negative pasuk. This pasuk is in Hosea is referring to in a negative way that they carried these mozne mirma. They would carry these scales to go and trick people. But we see from here that the word Kanani means a merchant. Alternatively, boy say mamihacho. There's another pasuk. It says asher solchareha sorim kinoneha nichbade oritz. It says that the solchrim were sorim and the kinoneha, the merchants, were considered chosh of the people in the land. So we see that the word Kanani means merchant. Mark continues and dashes another pasuk from Zechariah. It says, "Vayah Hashem leMelech v'al kol aretz." Vayah mohu Hashem echadish moechad. Famous pasuk. So, what does this pasuk mean? That it says, "Only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be one." Atu ayidna lav echadu rachmona litzlan. Are we suggesting that only then is HaKadosh Baruch Hu one? So Gemara says, "No." Amar v'acha barchanina. Lo ka'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. That there's differences between the way we interact now and the way we will interact in olam haba. For example, in this world. Now, Bolam Hazeh, we say Baruch Atova Meitiv for very good things that happened to us. Baruch Baruch Hashem Okinu Lachalam Atova Meitiv. Right, many of the great poskim came out now that with the COVID vaccine, a person should make the Baruch Atova Meitiv because it's good for him. It's good for the entire world. Such an interesting idea. So we always make a Baruch when it's good for us and good for the world. Atova Meitiv. However, we don't make a Tova Meitiv Rachman Lutzlan if somebody passes away. Then we say the Albasaurus Rose Rachman Lutzlan. We say Omer Baruch Ato Hashem Okinu Mechalom Dayan No Emes. So therefore, in this world, we can't appreciate that everything that happens is for our good. Everything that happens is a positive thing for us, even though it sounds like it's a terrible thing right now. We can't appreciate that in this world. It's impossible to tell somebody who Rachman Lutzlan lost a relative to say that's a good thing. But that really is a good thing. We just can't understand it and comprehend it so well in this world. However, that's why we make different brachos now for good things and for bad things. However, lo olam haba, when we realize fully HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful way that he runs the world, called the Racha Darchei Noam, olam haba, kula tova meitiv. They will make a tova meitiv, so to say, on everything, because we'll realize, kol the osa rachmana letav osa, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is for our betterment, to make us happier and better. Likewise, at the end of the pasuk in Zechariah, it said, "Ushmo echad." Only then, my echad. Only then is Hakadosh Baruch Hu echad. Otu aidna lav shmo echad. It's not one name for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There's Rachman Litzlan, multiple deities. Rachman Litzlan. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. He says, "No, lo kol mazeh hol baba." Again, in this world, we don't appreciate the things the way we'll appreciate them in the world to come. In this world, hol mazeh, we write Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name nichtav. We write it down the yud k. We write it down with the spelling yud k vav k. However, we pronounce it that the Nikra be Aleph Dalas. We pronounce it with the Ado Shem name as opposed to pronouncing it with the Yud Kei Vav Kei the way that it would in fact be sounded out. However, Avol Olam Haba Kulu Echad, in the Olam Haba, then we'll be able to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and understand it in the fullness and be able to say Yud Kei Vav Kei rather than the Aleph Dalad Nun pronunciation. Nikra be Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Nichtav be Yud Kei Vav Kei. Sava Rava Lemidrash Bepirka. Rava once wanted to go and darshan the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what they exactly meant in public. Rashi says, Korea the Yud K, the Arba Osios, Darshe, the time at Tulimba. He wanted to pronounce the Yud K Vav K Mistama and explain to people what it meant, the depths of it. And that's not something that was a good idea. So the Gemara says, Amalei HaOsaba, an old man came to him. Again, many times this old man is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, not always so, but it certainly could be. And it says, the pasuk that we'll learn in a moment in the Gemara, it says, Zeh Shmi Li Olam, Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. So we make a play on the word L'Olam. So he said, the old man, this HaOsaba, Eliyahu, told Rava la'aleim k'siv. Read it. Zeshmi la'olam. Read it. Zeshmi la'aleim. Don't pronounce my name. Don't tell people all the hidden secrets of my name. Similarly, Rabbi Avino Rami says, "Ksev zesh milolam." The pasuk says, "This is my name forever." And right after this, it says, "This is the way you should pronounce it." Dor l'dor. So the Gemara says, "Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu." Ravina says, "No steer over here." Lo kishani nichtav ani nikra. Don't pronounce me the exact way that I am written. It's improper to say the yud kei vav kei name. We pronounce it with the aleph dalet nun pronunciation. So nichtav ani biyud kei. It's written out as yud kei vav kei. However, v'nikra. But when we pronounce it in this world, we say aleph dalet nun yud. V'nikra ani ba'aleph dalet. With this, we conclude the beautiful third parak. Hadron lecha elu overin. Hadron lecha elu overin. Hadron lecha elu overin. And we begin the parak makom shenagu. So let us begin. The Mishnah says makom shenagu lasus malacha be'avri psochim ad chatzos. The places that had the custom to do malacha on Erev Pesach until Chatzos. Everybody says you're not allowed to do malacha on an Erev Yontif, as Gemara will say, after Chatzos. And Tosus points out that on Pesach, it's different because there's the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach to get rid of the chametz, so we don't want people to be Torah doing malacha that they'll not be able to properly prepare for Pesach. That's why there's a special reason that we don't do malacha in some places. They had the custom not to do malacha even in the morning until Chatzos. So this is a minhag. So the Mishnah tells us in places where they had the minhag to allow malacha to be done up until noon, so then they're allowed to do so. Osin. However, if the minhag was mokum shenagu shalolat sos ain osin. But if the minhag in a place is not to do malacha, then you shouldn't separate yourself in the tzibur and do malacha. Similarly, haholech mokum shosim lomokum shein osin. If you're in a place that you're coming from a place where they did malacha, and you're going to a place where they don't do malacha, or vice versa. O mimakom she'enos malacha, if you're in a place that doesn't do malacha, and you go to a place she'osim malacha, so again, you take upon yourself, notzen lo chumri mokum she'otzim misham, you take upon yourself the stringencies of the place that you came from. So for example, if you came from a place that didn't do malacha, so then you still maintain that not doing malacha. And you take upon yourself the chumris of the place that you're going to. So likewise, notzen lo chumri mokum she'otzim misham, the chumri mokum she'holach l'sham. So you have the worst of both worlds, so to say. You take the original chumras that you had, as well as any new chumras in the place that you are going to. And we'll see explanations of this as we go through the Gemara. And the reason the Mishnah tells us is v'ayishana odum ipnei machlokes, is because it's going to cause trouble. If everybody else is not working, and you're working, they're going to be upset. Now, the other way around, if everybody else is working and you're not working, they won't be upset. They'll say, Mustam, the guy's late. He doesn't have work to do. He's a lazy bum. Or that he just has no parnasa to do. So therefore, nobody will be upset in that way. Likewise, what tells us, the Mishnah tells us, Kayotibo, Hamolach Peres Shias. If a person goes during the Shemitah year and he's in a place where the fruits of that area, the Shemitah produce in that area has been used up, so then you have to be Mavar. Many different interpretations. What does it mean? You have to get rid of the Shemitah and that product. You mean to have to bring it outside of your house. Some say you actually have to destroy it. Some say that you just make it Hefker. So, again, different interpretations. But whatever the din is, if you're in a place where the Shemitah peiros, the Shemitah produce, has been used up, so you have to get rid of it. So, if you're going, you're welcome Shekalu. If you're going from a place where it's used up, so there you're not allowed to have it. But you're going to welcome Shalokalu, to another place where that type of produce has not been used up, so they're still allowed to have it. But what should you do? So, we'll see. You have to take the chumrah of the place that you came from, according to the Tanakhama. Or vice versa. Omi mokum shalokalu, you're in a place where it hasn't yet been used up, and then you're going to a place, lemokum shakalu, to a place where it has been used up. So, in that latter situation, chayav levayah, the Mishnah tells us that you have to get rid of it, because you're in a place now where it's used up. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Tsev ave lucha. He says, why do I have to use it up? You can also go to the place where I got it from, and it's not used up over there, and therefore you have the same option as me to go get it, so therefore why should I have to get rid of it? And the Gemara will discuss Rabbi Yehuda's opinion a lot more. And the Gemara starts off and says, "My ear yarvi psachim, why bedavka did our Mishnah have to tell us that this is talking about in the morning before Chatzos?" That's really the question, according to Rashi and the other Mefarshim here. They're not asking why you don't do work on Erev Pesach. That's the same din as all the other Yom Tovim. So they're specifically asking what was special here that we have to mention that it's before Chatzos. Obviously it's before Chatzos because under no circumstances can you do work after Chatzos. That's the Gemara's question. Afilu Arbi Shabbosos, Arbi Yom Tovim, Nami. Every Erev Shabbos and every Yom Tov, you're not supposed to work in the afternoon. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, also b'locha b'avi Shabbosos v'yom tovim, if a person does work on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, when min ha-min cholamala. Now, min cholamala could be a lot of different interpretations. The Gersa that we have in Rashi, he says it's mincha ketana from 9.5 hours into the day. The afternoon is broken up into mincha gedola, mincha ketana, plaga mincha, and then the shkia.
Now, Mincha Gedola starts a half an hour after Chatzos. Chatzos, let's say, in our idealized day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. would be 12 o'clock. So Mincha Gedola is when the sun has moved a little bit off the exact middle of the sky, and you can tell that it's definitely on the western side of the sky rather than the eastern side of the sky, and that's called Mincha Gedola. That's when you can start davening Mincha at 12:30 in our idealized day. Mincha Ketana is at 9.5 hours into the day. Plaga Mincha is at 10 hours and 45 minutes into the day, half of that Mincha Ketana, another hour and 15 minutes of the 2.5 hours, and then Shkia comes at the end of the day at 6 p.m. in our idealized day. So Rashi's girsa here is that this Mincha that we're referring to is from 9.5 hours into the day. The Marsha says it's a printing error, and it should be 6.5 hours into the day, which means it's talking about Mincha Gedola. So when it says here, Mincha, it means Min HaMincha L'mal, it means from 12:30 in the afternoon, in our idealized day, from 6.5 hours into the halachic day, Min HaMincha L'mal, Ein Aro Simin Bracha Li'olam. If a person were to do work on any Erev Shabbos or any Erev Yontif, you're not going to see a Simin Bracha from doing that work. You're supposed to be preparing for Shabbos and Yontif, and therefore, if you're doing work, it's going to take away, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if you do work, you're not going to benefit from it. So that's the Gemara's question. Why do you have to tell me that our Mishnah is talking about Mokum da Minog, Mokum da Minog, the Minog to do work? Obviously, it's talking about before Chatzos. Gemara says, no. Hasam, in regards to Shabbos and the Yomim Tovim, there it says you're not allowed to work min haMincha l'mala hu diaser. Now let's assume it's like the girsa that the Marsha says in Rashi for Mincha Gedola, or even if you want to say like Rashi, it's talking about Mincha Ketana. If the girsa that we have in Rashi is correct, and some substantiate that, nevertheless, it's talking only from that point and onwards, from Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana and onwards. But Samuch l'Mincha lo, but not in the preceding period of time, right before Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana starts, which is also after Chatzos. But here, in regards to Pesach, Erev Pesach is Hocho Mechatzos. Here the din is that even from Chatzos and onwards, you're not supposed to do any work. So that's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Inami, Hasam, in regards to Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontiv, it says that you won't get any Simen Bracha, Ein Aro, Simen Bracha Li'olam. So there it says, Hasam Simen Bracha, Hu D'lo Chazi, you won't be able to see a Simen Bracha from your work. However, Avo Shamute, Lo Meshamtina Le, but they're not going to put you in Chayim if you do that. As opposed to an Erev Pesach, Hocho Shamuti, Nami Meshamtina Le, that you're going to be put in the Chayim, you're going to put in Shamta if you go do work during that period of time. Now let's go back and discuss what we just said. Gufa, we brought down also Malach b'Avi Shabbos b'Avi Yom Tovim. If a person does work on Erev Shabbos Erev Yontif, a regular Erev Shabbos Erev Yontif, not just Pesach, min haMincha l'mala, from this time of Mincha l'mala, from let's say Mincha Gedola or Mincha Ketana and onwards, or if a person does work with Matzi Shabbos, Tosus points out that their custom was that they would do work sometimes earlier than the Davin Marv, even though it was after the Zman. So you shouldn't do work, he says, until after your Davin Marv and finished off your Tefillah. So that's what it's referring to over here, Matzi Shabbos. And likewise, Matzi Yom Tov, Matzi Yom Kippur, same din applies, Matzi Yom Tov and Matzi Yom Kippur, and that there's a Tosefis Shabbos, a Tosefis Yontif, a Tosefis Yom Kippurim, that you shouldn't do the work. They had the custom not to do work during that period of time, even though technically Melacha was allowed to be done, then it was already Ois, Shabbos, Yontif, Yom Kippur. Or b'kol makom sheisham nidnu davera, or any situation where there is a potential for doing an avera by doing the Melacha, and we give the example, Asuya Tanis Sibur, it's a situation of a Tanis Sibur, where the Chachamim, if there was a famine, there was a drought, so they would decree various Tanis Sibur. The Gemara in Tainis tells us all the days, the 3, then the 3, then the 7, and then additional fasts that they would decree upon the people, each one more severe in nature, each series more severe in nature than the preceding ones. And therefore, people shouldn't go work on those days. In any of those situations where the minhag was not to do work, so Ein Ro is Simen Brach Li'olam. This Brisa tells us that you won't see any benefit from doing it. So you think you're doing the work. Oh, I have to do the work. It's so important. No, you're not going to get any benefit from the work. Furthermore, Tana Rabbanan, we learn another Brisa. There are 4 different types of people. Yezoriz v'niskar. There's a person that's very diligent in doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he'll be rewarded for it. There are those, Yezoriz, however, they're diligent, but they're also going to lose out because they're doing something that's not right. V'nifsad, and they'll end up losing out. Then there's Yezshafel. There are low people. There are lazy people. And yet, v'niskar, but they'll be rewarded. And then there are those people, v'yesh shafel, they're low people, v'nifsad, and they're going to be punished. They're going to lose out. So these are the 4 types of people. Now, let's explain each one. There are those that are zoriz v'niskar. They're very, very diligent in doing their work, and they get rewarded. What's this referring to? This is a person that works all week long. Da'avid kuli shabasa, he works all week long. However, v'lo avid b'malai shabsa, and he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos. Oh, such a person is doing exactly what Chazal said, and he'll be rewarded greatly. Then there are those that are Zoriz, they're very diligent, they work all week long, however, in Nisan, but because they work Erev Shabbos, they're going to be losing Yotzu Shchar Mevseda, they're going to end up losing out. Dovid Kuli Shabbos, they're working hard all week, however, Vavid B'malai Shabbos, they're also working on Erev Shabbos, and therefore, they're going to lose the benefit of their working hard all during the week, because they'll lose it by working on Erev Shabbos.
Then there are those that are somewhat shafel, they're lower people, they're lazy people, and yet, v'niskar, they're going to benefit. Who is this referring to? These are people that are lazy, they don't work all week long, and therefore they don't work Erev Shabbos. The law of it kuli shabtsa, the law of it b'layim shabtsa. But the bottom line is, even though it's Gemara will say that they're not doing this lishma, they're doing this because they're lazy people, or they just don't have work, or they are so wealthy that they don't need to work. Whatever the reason, bottom line is, even though it's not done l'shem shamayim, but they're not working on Erev Shabbos, so they'll be rewarded. And then you have finally the worst person. He's shuffled. He's lazy. He doesn't work all week long. And the nifsad. And then the one time he wakes up, he says, "I'm going to go work Erev Shabbos." So that person, the law of Kol Shabbos, of Ovid Malay Shabbos. So he's a low person, and he's also going to lose out. Now, in the category where we said that they didn't work all week long, and they also didn't work Erev Shabbos, I already pointed out that that's considered a positive. Omar Rabbi says, "Hani Noshe Nechuzah, the women that work." The women that live in Mechuzah. Mechuzah was a very rich neighborhood, and the women there, they had many servants, and they didn't end up doing a lot of work. So, Afal Gav Lo Avdon Avidito B'Malei Shabbos, even though they don't work on Erev Shabbos, the reason they don't work on Erev Shabbos, they don't work all week long. Mishum Mifan Kusahu. It's because they're not very hard working all week long. Da'ko Yoma Nami Lo Kavdinat. They don't work all week long. Lo Kavdan. And yet, nevertheless, the Gemara says, even though they're somewhat lazy, they're the Shafel, yet v'niskar, because it says, even though the hal kol yom v'nami lo kol avda, even though they don't work all week long, afilu hachi shofil v'niskar karina lu, we reward them for not working on Erev Shabbos, even though it's mitok shelo lishma, nevertheless, it will eventually ba lishma, and therefore they're rewarded. Likewise, Rava says, we have a stira in the following two psukim. It says in one pasuk, siv ki gadol ad shamayim chasdecha, that your kindness HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up until the heavens. And then it says, siv ki gadol me'al shamayim chasdecha. And then it says, that your greatness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is me'al shamayim. So how is that? Okay, it's that, is it up to or above? So Gemara says it depends. Kan ba'os and lishma, those that perform the mitzvot, they do it lishma. So that is considered an unbelievably great thing. But kan ba'os and shloshma, that's not as considered as great. However, we also follow the words of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said name of Rav. A person should always go and work in Torah mitzvos, even though he's not doing it for the right purposes, because eventually, as long as you're not doing it for a bad purpose, Tosus points out that if you're doing it for a bad purpose, if you're doing the lakanta, you're learning over here, in order that you're able to go schlug people up and embarrass them, so that's a terrible thing. But as long as you're learning, even if you're learning to get an honor, you want to be the guest of honor at the dinner, you want to have everybody call you tamachav and stand up for you, so that's fine. Learn Torah for that. Even though you're not learning for the right purposes, bolishma eventually will be for the right purposes. Another b'raisa Tana Rabbanan, ha-mitzapeh l'schar ish dover rechayim, if a person is hoping to live off, he's looking forward to the work that his wife does to support himself, or the work of rechayim of the millstone, he says, ain't a rosim brach li'olam, that's not a good way to make a parnasa, you're not going to end up doing well. What does this mean, your wife's work or the rechayim? So schar ish dover, when it says you're looking forward to your wife's work, it means maskulta. Rashi explains, Notelis Mosnaim, she takes a balance scale biyodo in her hands, Umalechas Beshukin, she goes out to the market and she rents out the balance scale. In other words, I'll balance stuff for you, I'll show you the weights for things, L'chol Tzrichim, and this is a very, very poor business model. The Schar Mu'at, she doesn't get a lot of money for this, and nevertheless, Mizbazi Ishto, a Schar Mu'at, and yet she's embarrassing herself, so to say, that she's going and hiring yourself out to go to do this very minimal work. Tosus has a slightly different interpretation. He says that it has to do something with sewing or weaving, and therefore when she's doing this, she makes very little money, and yet she reveals her arms when she's doing this. So it's not worth the effort, yet the husband is looking for this to support himself, is not going to see Simon Brach from this. And what is the Rechaya? So the millstone is Agarta. He's selling himself over here, to go and grind stuff up, which is a very hard work, and it's also very little reward for it. So therefore, these things aren't a great way to make parnasa. However, avo avda umizavda, but if the woman goes and sells things, so that's perfectly fine. As the pasuk says, ishtabuche mishtabach b'akra, the pasuk rewards her and says she's a great woman. The siv sadin masav atimkar, in the Eishes Chayil, it says that the woman goes and makes various items to sell, such as a sadin, a cloak of some sort, and she sells a timkar, so that's a erlecha, nice way to make parnasa. There's no harm in that. That is allowed. Tana Rabbanon, ha-mistaker b'konim uve-kankanim, if a person goes and tries to make a living off selling reeds, these konim. Rashi says, konim are anything that is a small pole, a thin pole. It's called a konim. And you make from it various types of fences and borders. So, or kankanim, or you're selling certain types of baskets.
So you know, also ain't a run of sim brach leolam, not a great parnasa to have. Why not? My taima, given the nafish afachazayu, since it looks like you're dealing with lots of big items over here, shaltubu ain't. Everybody sees you and they say, wow, this guy must be so busy, so rich, he's so this, so that, and an ayin hara can occur because people are jealous of you and they look at you and it's never good to be the focus of attention. Similarly, Tana Rabban, we learn another brisa. Tagre simta, the people that are merchants that are in the corner of the shusarabim, known as a simta. So these people, likewise, magadli behemadaka, and those people that grow small animals like the sheep or the goats, or the kotzei ilonos tovos, people that go cut down good trees. They need the wood, but they cut down very good trees. Or the nosin neneim bechelik yofer, or a person that always says, "I got to get the best portion." Whenever they're giving something out, he grabs the best portion. All of these four types of people in a rishim brach liolam, they're not going to be well rewarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to see them be successful. Why not? My time. The tall beinshin, because everybody looks at them as strange, and everybody says that these people are doing something that's unusual. And again, you never want to be the focus of attention, because then the ayin hara, the ein abisha, will be sholit on you. It will be on you, and it's not a good thing. Similarly, Tana Rabbanon, arba prutos and bem simon bracha liolam. There are four types of pennies that when you earn them, you're not going to see a simon bracha for them. What are these? Schar kosvin. The more we'll explain this more in a moment, but right now we'll say that it means the person who's getting paid to be a scribe. Tosa says, we're not talking here about a person who is going to be hiring himself out, let's say, to notarize letters or write letters, but we'll see, eventually we're talking about a person who writes Sifrei Torah or Stam or things like that. But we'll explain this more in a moment. Likewise with Schar Meturguman, the one who gets up there and is the public announcer for the shir. So the Rav gives the shir, the Rosh Shiva gives the shir, and then he has one of the Talmidim, a huge Talmud Chacham himself, who announces the shir publicly. He was the microphone, so to say, for the shir. The Rav would say the shir quietly, and he would announce it for all the people. So that's not a good thing. We'll see in a moment why not. Uschar Yisomim, a person who's making money off being a guardian for the Yisomim, and he works with them, he profits with them, and he gets a share of it. So that's also not a good thing. That's not a good way to have Simon Bracha. And finally, Umos Habos Medina Sayyam, the person gets his income from shipping that's coming from overseas, the merchandise that he's buying from overseas, also not a good profit. Now, Gemara will explain three of them, clearly why not, and we'll ask about the schar of the kosvin. Why isn't that a good business to go into? So Gemara says, Bishlam schar metugamonim, the people that are the public announcer for the shir, why is that not a good thing? Sounds like it's a great thing. We show them the mechzik is schar Shabbos, because they give the shir often on Shabbos, and they're getting paid for their work on Shabbos, so people are going to say, hey, he makes his money by working on Shabbos, and there's going to be, again, a lot of ayin hara against such a person. Umos yisomim nami, and likewise, a person who does business with the yisomim's money, so he's their guardian, and he does business with them, he puts his own money in as well. So again, the Yisomim here have no way of being mochel if he doesn't do something 100% right, because by definition, if they're ketanim, they can't be mochel. So therefore, he's not going to do well in this arena also, because anything that he does is going to potentially be problematic. And if he doesn't do a great job for them, he's going to be in trouble. So therefore, not a great business to go into. Likewise, Moos Habos Medina Sayyam, if you're getting merchandise that's coming from across the ocean, across the rivers, and it has to come by boat, so that's a dangerous occupation. Mishum Delav Kol Yoma Misrachish Nisa. Their shipping disasters were a regular basis. And therefore, if a person was relying upon this to make a parnasa, it's not going to be good. So these three, we understand why not. But, El Eschar Kosu, my timer, why is writing Sifrei Stam a terrible profession to go into? One can make the argument, it's a beautiful profession to go into, as more we'll make in a moment. So I'm Shulman Levy explains, because these people that are doing this beautiful work, so the Chazal made sure that they wouldn't be successful. They davened that they shouldn't be successful. Esu Yabar Tanios, Yoshu Anshek Nesel Gdol, Anshek Nesel Gdol, the great Chazal, the Chachamim, they fasted 24 fasts, but Davka, Al Kosvei Sar, and Tefillin Mezuzos, these writers of the Sifrei Torah, the Tefillin Mezuzos, the Sifrei Stam, Shelo Yisashu, that they shouldn't get wealthy from their work, because Shel Mali Misashu, if they were to get wealthy, ain't Kosvei, then nobody's going to want to do this anymore, and then we won't have Sifrei Torah, Tefillin Mezuzos. So, but Davka, they shouldn't make a good parnasa. That's what they davened. Likewise, Tana Rabban, we learn the brights of Kosi Sor and Tefillin Mezuzos, these people that write Sifrei Stam, Hain, they, Visagoreim, and they're the people that are like the middlemen for them, the Tagri Tagoreim, and the other middlemen for them, the Kolos and Melecha Shemaim, and anybody that does the Melecha Shemaim, they're working in Klei Kodesh. And what is this coming to include? Lasuye Mochwe Tcheles, those people that sell Tcheles, those days, and possibly even now, there is Tcheles, which is necessary for Tzitzis. So therefore,
It says, "Ein ro'en simen brach li'olam." They won't be successful, based upon what Yeshua ben Levi said, that they daven, that they shouldn't be so successful, because then they won't want to do this job. So to make sure that we have all of these sifrei stam and treles, so they're never going to be very successful. However, v'moskim lishma, but if these people are doing it not to make a profit, but they're doing it because they know the wonderful service they're providing to Klal Yisrael, so then ro'en, they will be successful as well, because they're not going to stop doing it just because they have parnasa. Mar says, "B'nei Beishon, no good lo hovu azlina mitzur letzido m'mali shapsa." There was a custom that the people that lived in Beishon, there was a certain city, they wouldn't go and travel. Those people that lived in Sidon had a minhag not to travel from the city of Tzur to the city of Sidon. They were near each other, but they wouldn't travel there on Erev Shabbos. That was their minhag. They didn't want to take any chances they'd get delayed and be mechal Shabbos. Now, that was the people of the previous generation. Their children eventually came. Also, Benayu, Kameder Rav Yochanan. Their children said, "Listen, we're not as wealthy as our parents were." And they said to Rav Yochanan, "Amru lo, avi son efshalu." For our fathers, the previous generation, they were able to afford not to work and travel over here on Erev Shabbos. Anan lo efshalon. But we need the parnasa, and we need to work, and we need to travel from Tzor to Tzidon on Erev Shabbos. So, can we do so? So, Amru Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan tells him, "Amru lo, kavar kiblu avoseichem alem." Nope. It's already your custom in your community that you can't do this. Shenemah, the pasuk says, "Shema b'nei b'musar avicha v'altitosh tarasi mecha." You should follow the customs of your parents. Don't give up the customs that your mothers and your fathers, your holy mothers and fathers did. They did it for a good reason, and you shouldn't do it as well. They did it to protect the Shabbos. You shouldn't go and take the chance that you'll come to desecrate the Shabbos by not following that minhag. Likewise, b'nei chazoi nagudu mevafreshi chala me'arosa. The people from chazoi, they had a minhag to go take off chala from rice. Now, rice is not one of the five grains, and therefore there is technically no chiyuv to take off chala from rice. So also, Rama Lele Rav Yosef, so the people came to Rav Yosef and said, "What should we do?" So they're doing something wrong. So Amalui told them, "Nechle zar b'fayu," let a non-kohen, a zar, go and eat this chala in front of them to show them that it's not really the status of chala. Verse says, "How are you allowed to do this?" Esri Abayi says, "Dvarim hamutarim v'achirim nagu b'hem iser," for things that are permissible, and yet others take upon themselves that it's aser. We turn to Nun Aleph Omud Aleph. Yeah, to Rashi latirim b'fneim. You're not allowed to go and say that it's permissible to do so. So how can they do this? So how could you go and tell the people that are living the Bnei Chuzai that they now no longer have to take off the challah from rice? So Amalo, Rav Yosef says to Abayi, "V'lav miyit maralo." But didn't we say that din, that you're not allowed to tell people that are doing something that is not necessary to do, you're not allowed to change their practices, didn't we say, Amar Rav Chisda, that's only talking about the kusim, the kusoi. So the kusim, they shouldn't be changing their practices. But if a regular yid is making a mistake, why can't you correct them and tell them not to do it? So Gemara says, no, Abayi tells Rav Yosef, "Why do we say the kusim, you can't go correct them? Kusoi, my time, why do you let the kusim continue to do the thing that they're doing incorrectly because it's a chumrah?" So Mishum de Mesachi Milsa, because if you start correcting them, they're going to go make many, many other mistakes. So these people, the Bnei Chuzoi, Hanachin Shinami, they didn't know what they're doing. So Sarchi Milsa, if you tell them you don't have to take challah on the rice, they're not going to take challah on the other grains. So therefore, you're better off telling them, leave the rice. And let them take the challah from the rice, and don't go and change it, because if you tell them they don't have to take challah on the rice, they're not going to take challah on the wheat either. So therefore, what should you tell them? Elo Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, look and see these people, Chuzoi, Chazinan. E Ruben Ba'oriz Ochli, if this is their main staple, that they really have rice all the time, so Nechli Zar Befayu. So then, don't have a non-Kohen come and eat it, because they're going to forget the din of challah, because they're eating only rice. So once you tell them you don't have to take challah off from rice, they're not going to know the din of challah. And therefore, Dilma Mishtachla Torah Challah Binayu, they're not going to know that you have to have the din of challah. But E Ruben Doganachli, if in fact the majority grain that they eat is wheat or barley, etc., from the five grains, and they're taking off challah all the time, so then it's okay to go to correct them. Nichla Zor Befayu, then have a non-kohen go and eat the challah that they took off from the rice to show them that that's not really challah. Because here, Dilma Osi Lafrushi Min Achiv Al Ptur, or Min Ptur Al Achiv, because here there's a takala that could come and you have to correct it. If they think that there's no difference between rice and grain and wheat, so then they're going to say, well, I just made two loaves and I'll give the kohen the loaf that's from the rice, and that will potter the loaf that's from the wheat, when in fact it can't do that. So therefore, here they could lead to a takala, and therefore, when there's a takala, you have to go and correct it. Bottom line is, each rav has to look at the practices of that area and see whether this will lead to a takala, or this will actually lead to a problem if he removes the thing that they're doing incorrectly. And there are a lot of dinim about this, which can't go to halacha lemaisa right now, but basically, each rav has to see what's appropriate to go change minhagim, and to go and change practices that the people are doing, even if they were originally incorrect. But sometimes you have to leave them, and other times you'll have to change them. With this, we conclude today's share.